Hi, everyone. This is Patricia Corey. Welcome to Beyond the Matrix, the radio show that asks you to get out of the box of conventional thinking and into the stream of consciousness that permeates the universe. And to do that today, we are going to have a really heady conversation with a wonderful author whose name is Penelope Smith. Her book is Animals in Spirit, a subject that touches me very, very much. And we're going to be talking about some pretty remarkable things regarding animals, how they choose their paths in life and death, and where they go when they leave this world. So let me just tell you a little bit about Penelope. She communicated with animals telepathically throughout her life. And in 1971, she discovered that animals could be relieved of emotional trauma and other problems, just using the same techniques that help humans. She's got a master's degree in social study sciences, years of training and experience in human counseling, nutrition, holistic body energy balancing. And so this woman is very, very prepared, and I'm delighted to have her on with us to share with us some of her wisdom about animals and their experience beyond this world and in it. So welcome, Penelope. Are you with me?
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. I've read your book. It's remarkable. I have many questions, but before I get started bombarding you, I would love for you to answer one big question, and that is, how did you get into this incredible field of telepathic communication with animals?
Well, as you said, I've always communicated with animals, and it was not an ability that I covered like most people my age were socialized at the time to consider this as just fanciful and that it didn't really exist except in storybooks. So as I progressed through life, I always had the intention to help people, to help enlighten people. I was a very spiritually oriented person and aware of myself as a spiritual being, and also aware that many people were distressed and not very aware of their spiritual nature. However, the amazing thing was that animals were very aware of their spiritual nature and never socialized out of it. Now, as I became a spiritual counselor for people and followed my track of assisting people in any way I could, I started to apply some of the techniques that I found for people would help them through traumas and difficulties, and applied it to animals, and had incredible success finding that animals were relieved and changed their behavior very quickly, and through the using the telepathic connection. Now, I like to explain the telepathic connection. Telepathy is not something far out or weird or spooky. It actually just means being able to feel across a distance. The tele is a distance part, like telephone, and the pathy is the feeling part. And all of us are born with the ability to actually communicate telepathically beyond words, being able to feel and sense and get the intentions, thoughts, and feelings of other beings. However, in our Western society, we've been acculturated out of this ability and not encouraged to develop it in any way, but however that isn't changing as intuitive skills and our unity with all of life, our connection with other species is being acknowledged more and more. So
yeah, I would have to add that even not only in the West, but I travel quite a lot, and in countries like Egypt and Thailand, and there is an even further distance between humans and animals and the way animals are treated in those countries.
Yes, yes, and a generalized forgetting on the world that we're all in this together, that we're all spiritual beings with different physical forms. And this has been in cultures, in tribal cultures, and in philosophies for millennia, but we entered a time in our experience where we were separating from nature and regarding ourselves as something different. In actual fact, this is fortunately changing. Before we destroy ourselves and the whole world, we are starting to recognize that we have a whole web of life here, and that our ancestors
I think also the animals are starting to tell us so much more, because many of the people that I work with, and I particularly have become so empathic with animals that it's almost painful. So
yeah.
I'm trying to work on keeping my balance with that and not turning it into a painful situation when I see animals suffering. But it's very difficult because they are really communicating more and more.
Yes, and people are listening. That's the wonderful thing, is people are, instead of looking at animals as objects, are realizing that we are all sentient beings, we're all feeling beings, and that we can actually communicate to each other and live in a different way on the earth than we have been living, where there's a tremendous amount of destruction of animals and plants and the environment. So fortunately, that is changing, and there is hope, and people are opening up to their telepathic connection and listening to their brothers and sisters in other forms. And so it is an ability that people can recover. It is something people can learn how to remember. And it actually lightens our days on the earth and helps us to use the wisdom of the animals and plants after we, of course, face the consequences of our negligence, of our looking at animals as fellow beings.
Indeed. You know, I've recently just given a workshop in some of the areas that I teach in, and I was just talking about how you can talk to bees and flies when they enter the house,
mm-hmm.
and they really are lost. They want to get out, and you can simply tell them and watch them go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, it's kind of remarkable that we are able to recognize that even insects, there's no limit to the ability to communicate with living, with all living forms.
Yes, and as our ancestors and Native Americans in this country have said, everything is alive. Everything communicates. And it really is a matter of opening to it rather than staying in a sort of closed box that we're separate.
Indeed. And have you noticed also how we are seeing more and more interspecies relationships? There was just something on the news yesterday about a little cocker spaniel that found that had just given birth and found three little squirrels that had been abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought them into her little her little bed and is now raising three puppies and three squirrels. And this seems to be happening more and more.
Well, people are noticing it more and more. See, these kind of things were always there. And there's been animal lovers and people close to animals, but it was not regarded as okay to regard animals' feelings and to consider this something equal to humans. And now it is. People are spreading all these beautiful stories of connection among species through the web, and now it's becoming much more shared. And as people get out of the closet and share their experiences of interspecies connection, then more and more people realize we're all in this together, and we're all intelligent beings, each in our own way. And it's improving. This is good news.
It is good news. And would you agree that a growth in vegetarianism might have something to do with that awareness?
Well, I think that people all over the world are realizing we have to live in a different way. We have to live more lightly on the earth. We have to regard all beings in a different way. So I everything kind of contributes that to the same stream, that we have to be conscious of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. So will you tell us a little bit about how telepathic communication with animals works and how you advise people can rediscover this ability?
Yeah. First of all, knowing that this is something that's within you, and most animal people realize they have a very deep connection with their animal friends, and that goes beyond words and beyond species. And realizing that there is an ability to understand each other, then people need to learn to get quiet in order to listen to another being, in order to really get what they're communicating, other than, you know, trying to figure it out in a behavior way that may not be accurate according to the animals, what they're really feeling and thinking. It may not solve the problem. People have to get quiet. And in our society, we're not, most people are encouraged to be very, very busy and very competitive and very active mentally. And this requires sort of quieting, letting the mind rest a little bit, and opening up to fully listen to another being rather than analyzing them and figuring them out and working very rapidly. So the first thing people can do is take some of the stress and busyness out of their lives and spend time just being quiet with their animal friends. Then there's the acknowledging that their animal friends are intelligent fellow beings that we're walking on the journey together, and taking away the attitude that they're something lower and that they could only communicate about the lowest possible things people can think of. And just taking that away and being able and willing to discover and learn from animals. And those two things go a long way with people. And then learning how to recognize telepathic communication. I consider telepathic communication is like extended senses. It's like a finer tuning of our own senses. Telepathic messages are happening all the time, and we need to stop and kind of tune into them. So how do these things come across? They come across, how do telepathic messages come across? They come across according to any of the sense channels that are open to you. So if you ask your dog, what did you do today while I was at work? If you're open to the visual sense channel, you may get mental pictures. You can get a picture of your dog running to the door and then going to play with the toy.
That's what I get a lot.
Yeah, and but other people may be more open to the kinesthetic sense, the motion sense, so they get a sense of the dog moving through space and feeling things tactically.
Yeah.
And other people may be more oriented toward thoughts and messages and hearing messages that they translate into the words. So they'll get the dog thinking, well, I'm going to walk over to the door and I'm going to go to through the dog door and go potty in the yard, and they translate this into words. But really, when you get all your telepathic connection back, when you've practiced enough, all the senses come in so that you can actually feel what the animal feels and sense what they sense. You can actually smell through a dog's nose, your dog's nose, and see what they see and feel what they feel. And it's a sort of a direct experience of their life through connecting with them that is different than your own thoughts and projections. So that's sort of the ultimate and ideal that gets you most out of the way, is really feeling what the animal feels. Then it's like going into another world. It's like going into a different culture. And then you understand life from the animal's perspective, which is quite refreshing and fun, and the animals love it when you understand them that way.
Indeed. You know, I've been out of town on business for a few weeks, and I've had to leave my three dogs, and the little one is the most telepathic. And while I was sitting in a room the other day, the person who I was visiting had a beautiful stuffed animal, and I started to stroke its stomach, which my dog Kika loves so much, and I could feel her reacting to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of nice, knowing we can reach them from far away.
Yep. Oh, definitely. And you can, it's really nice to help make your departures much better by, first of all, being clear with your animal friends where you're going, why you can't take them with, and asking them to take care of your house and your house sitter, and making it a clear communication and a cheerful event rather than something confusing and painful for the animal when you leave. And then connected with them while you're gone, similar to what you did, is just thinking of them, feeling them, and picturing them doing well at home, and telling them how long you're going to be gone. And animals get a sense of the time, of the days, and when you'll be back, and they'll be waiting for you. So it becomes a continued connection rather than a painful separation. And this is one of the benefits of having that consciously, having that telepathic connection working for you.
Yeah, and it really serves because I think most people, at least I, most people that I know feel so terribly guilty when they leave their animals, and
yeah.
I do. And mm-hmm. so I've been very careful not to communicate that guilt and sadness to my kids.
Good. Well, that's good for you. If you communicate instead in a more neutral way about the fact of you having to go, and then communicate the joy and the feeling of connection, that makes a huge difference to your animals. Instead of them getting sick or being worried or having behavior problems while you're gone, they then relax into a state of connection with you.
It's wonderful to have that confirmation, because
yeah.
I usually sit them down. I've got two great big German shepherds and a lovely little Shih Tzu, and I sit them all down in a row, and they
mm-hmm.
we all know how dogs kind of tilt their heads when you're talking to them. And I say, okay, guys, I just wanted you to remember that I'm a working mom and got to do this, and so I want you to have a good attitude and don't make me feel guilty.
Yeah. Well, you don't have
and
to
they
say
do have a great attitude.
Yeah, yeah, and yet you don't even have to say about the don't make me feel guilty. That's your own stuff.
I know.
I
knew you were going to say
that. And you just tell them, hey, we are always connected, and you guys help me by sending me good energy, and I'm going to send you good energy, and we're always connected. And that keeps it pretty upbeat, and then you can handle your own guilt in yourself.
You're right. We're talking with Penelope Smith. Her wonderful book is called Animals in Spirit. And Penelope, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's animaltalk.net.
Okay, so don't leave now to go check out her site, but take a note of it, animaltalk.net. And at the end of the show, you're going to want to see what she's up to besides this wonderful book. And later on in the show, we'll have some call-in time if you'd like to call in and ask Penelope about your own pets and your experience with them. So, okay, so I'm eliminating the don't make me feel guilty commentary from now on. I know it's my stuff, but they're so cute, you know. And the little girl, Kika, she's so clever. She gets on the suitcase, and I say, Kika, you, please don't make this difficult. Go play. And then she comes back again, and I take her off again, and the third time she comes back with her little stuffed animal, and she sits
mm-hmm.
right on the clothes.
Yeah.
And the message is, not only am I too cute for you to possibly resist, but I have my baby, and she's coming with, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so wonderful.
Very sweet.
I think it's so fantastic that in so many areas now, older citizens are being taught to, or are being encouraged to have animals for comfort. And to receive the love that seems to be dissipating in their lives.
Oh, definitely. I think it's a crime to take away animals from people just because they have to go and be in an assisted home. Because
they'll get much more assistance
if they have their animal friends with them.
That would break their heart.
Yeah.
And also children. I really regret that my parents didn't let me have a dog when I was a child, but fortunately, I made up for lost time.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you made up for it.
Yeah. Well, I would have a whole house full if I didn't have to travel for work. I think I would maybe even move to Africa and just fill the land with as many animals as possible, because they are so, so wonderful. Okay, well, I'd love to also get to the question that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in, and that is, how do you see what happens to animals when they cross over to the other side?
Okay, first I'd like to say on the, because this is very relevant to communicating with animals after they have gone, is to get in all the steps of and recovering the telepathic communication ability. My basic book is Animal Talk, and that's the book has been out for 30 years through many editions and many printings and many copies, that gives people the basic steps on how they can recover their ability to telepathically communicate, how they can remember it. Oftentimes people will just read the book and then go, oh, that's how it works. Oh, I've been doing that. And then by recognizing their own ability and how much they do already, they can start to develop it. So when we start to look at the subject of animals dying, and I'm going over to the other side and us continuing to communicate with them. These abilities, these cultivating the telepathic abilities, is really important. One of the things that animals share about dying is that it is a very natural thing, and that they want their people to see it as a continuance. Animals take life and death as a continuum, not a separation, not a humans, especially in our culture where we're so often so separated from any real deep contact with nature and love of humans. So our animal friends often give us that beautiful, pure love, that unconditional love that we're so missing. So for many people, death seems like an end of that. And the animals have communicated over and over again as they're dying and as they go over to the other side and from the other side that their love continues, that they are connected and that there is no disconnection. And obviously, we take on a body. We have a body for a short time, and in the case of our animal friends, we have to face sometimes a number of deaths because our animal friends live much shorter lives than we do. So what I wish for people is to be able to make that connection and with their animals as they're going and as they cross over, so that it isn't such a painful, wrenching, guilty experience for people, which is so awful for people to go through that and feel that they're separated. So the animals don't regard themselves as separated. They take death in stride. However, our domesticated animal friends feel what we feel. They can feel that we may not want them to leave and that we're hurting. And so many times that makes the death and the departure a wrenching experience, even for the animal, because it tries to stay longer in a body that is decaying and is ill and suffering, and instead of making a peaceful transition. So one of the things that people can learn is by learning to communicate with their animals, by learning to listen, by learning to get the thoughts and feelings of the animals, they can then realize what is going on from the animal's viewpoint, which really softens the whole process and also helps them to make decisions like whether it's right at that time or at what time to get the assistance of the vet in euthanasia, or if the animal is indeed in pain and needs some other kind of help from the vet, or if they want to continue to live, how do they see that and what's going on with them. And it just makes the whole process much more connected and informed. Our animal friends are with us. You know, they're deeply loving. They share our lives. They enjoy us. They take care of us as we take care of them. It's a wonderful symbiotic relationship. And they want to continue that during their transition, during their dying, and also beyond the grave. Animals want to share their joy, the gift of their passing, the beauty of going into the spiritual realm, and also their deep love that they continue to have for their people.
And do you feel that, for example, my mother passed 4 years ago, and her wonderful dog had passed a little bit before her?
Yeah.
Do you think that they reconnect in the afterworld?
Beings who love each other always reconnect. We're sort of in soul families. We come together, live lives on Earth, and then stay connected with each other. So beings, if they love each other, they stay connected. They find each other one way or another. There are many experiences in the spiritual realm that animals have related, and one of them is, of course, meeting their loved ones of any species, because souls are souls. A spirit is spirit. It doesn't matter what form you had in this life. We all have love for each other.
Indeed, so much love that they will just lie down and die for their departed.
Yes.
But, yes. Of course, humans do this as well. I mean, how many times have we heard of people who died shortly after their loved ones die?
Yeah, well, they have, you know, they have sort of have pacts with each other to stay together or to be with each other for a certain time and then to go on together. So that's how it works. It's kind of a beautiful thing, really.
It is. So you have some stories in here of people who have spoken with or communicated with their animals after they've passed. Would you like to share one or two of these with us?
Yeah, I'd like to share what's very close to me, which is the last animal death that I went through, which I relay in the book, which is the passing of my Afghan Buddha boy. And Buddha boy was almost 13 when he left this world, so we had a good, long, beautiful life together. And because I'd been through many animal deaths, and of course I communicate with animals and understand them as spiritual beings, I always tried to honor whatever way they wish to go and whatever's happening. So with Buddha boy, he had told me that he wanted to go and he would be going on his own, that he didn't want the vet's assistance, that it wouldn't be painful, that, and you know, I could see in his last month or so that he was transitioning, that he was getting slower, and he told me. And of course, as a human caregiver and guardian and friend, wanted always to be the best for my animal friends and that they don't suffer. And so Buddha boy, he gradually went down. He was able to walk and go outside and relieve himself till the very end, but he gradually got slower. And then he said to me, you know, I asked him what he wanted. I sort of surrounded his bed with flowers and candles and asked him if he wanted music. He didn't want any music. He said he wanted it to be really quiet. Although some animals will want their favorite music or music that you like to keep everything really peaceful, because as they're leaving their bodies, they're slowly leaving, and it's like a release, and also they need to focus on letting go. So he said to me, I think this was a day and a half or 2 days before he left, will you lie down next to me? Because I used to cuddle up with him, lie down next to him and hug him. And he said, would you lie down next to me and hold me for the last time? And so I did and gave him a kiss. And he said, and now I need to just focus on leaving my body. I don't want you to touch me again. So
I did.
It was actually very, very beautiful. I didn't feel bad about this because it was so deep and so profound, and I understood everything that he said. And so we had our last hug and kiss and some tears. And then it was very, very peaceful. And then my other dog, Belinda, at vigil and would go and sit with Buddha boy, sit near him but not touch him. And then Sherman, my older cat, he would do the same, and he would go in and watch Buddha boy, and then I would watch, and we just kept it really quiet and did whatever he wanted. And then at the end, I could see, you know, he was getting ready to go. He's breathing heavier, and I lay down near him. He was on cushions, and the bed was right nearby my bed, and I lay down next to him. It was about 11:30. I was getting kind of tired, and I figured, okay, I'll just rest, and I'll, you know, stay awake for when he's going. And when I awoke, he had just left the body, and he had sort of like a half smile on his face, and the whole room was filled with this beautiful spiritual energy. I sort of berated myself, as humans want to do, for not being there, not staying awake. And then Buddha boy said to me, I didn't want you to see the very end, because it was a little jolt and a little, like a small convulsion on leaving the body. I didn't want you to have that memory. And he had just left. I could tell, and his body was still warm, and the whole room was filled with this light, and everything went into the space of love. I actually felt such an exaltation as I, you know, released my feelings of any leftover guilt about not being awake for him, and all the rest, as he showed me how beautiful it was to be himself, free as a spirit. And then also the difficulties that we had had in the last couple of years, which were due to some challenges on the spiritual path, it all became clear to us. It became clear to both of us what that was about, how we were assisting each other to grow and to get through this piece of the planetary karma or growth needed together, and how he was helping me and I was helping him. And that all became clear and dissolved into love. I mean, it was so beautiful, and I regarded his death as sort of a culmination of learning from the animals all these years and communicating with them and being with them through their transitions, and realizing how beautiful it was for them to do it in the way that was right for them as spirits. And so for the next couple of days, I was sort of in a state of exaltation with Buddha Boy, and feeling him just giving me the gift of his departure. And this is another thing that I have noticed again and again, is that animals give a gift when they are leaving, and of opening and helping all the planet, helping us as individuals, and opening us up to greater love. And so I was very grateful that I was able to receive that. And again, this is the thing that I wish so much for all the people who read my book, and all people who have animal friends, is that they're able to receive the beautiful blessing of transition from one realm to the other, of moving from the physical when an animal dies to the spiritual, as an incredible blessing, and to then learn how to be connected, how to stay connected, and just feel the animal, even while emotions are moving through, and allowing ourselves to be human and have those human emotions, but not getting so caught up in them and stuck in them that we lose our connection to our animal friend, that actually takes the experience into a transcendent place for us, where we can lift up with the animal and always feel them with us. All the animal friends I've had in my life, and I've had been blessed to have very, very many of many species, I feel them always with me. And so there's no loss.
It's remarkable that you are so attuned and so able to put aside your grief to be able to be there in the moment and experience the beauty. And I think also that what we're also talking about here is a wonderful way to learn how to deal also with the loss of our human loved ones.
Yes. It applies to everybody, that if we deeply listen and we stay connected, it's actually a lot easier than when we wall ourselves off and we feel much pain from the separation. And when we go through it and let the emotions pass through, I call emotions energy in motion, just let that energy pass through, then we're lifted up with our animal friends, or our mother and father, or brother, or whoever it is that is transitioning. And we're lifted into a different space, and we actually can receive the gift of that individual in their life. I like the Buddhist attitude of celebrating the person's life, celebrating the life rather than focusing on a loss, thinking of it, of the joy that we had with our animal friends or any of our family, and all that they've given us, and letting that be the major theme rather than dwelling in thoughts that we're alone, that we are never recover, that this is a terrible loss, that we're bad people, that we could have save them, or we didn't do it right. All these things I take up in my book and give the animals' perspective. Give all the things they've said about what dying is about, what death is about, and the messages that they have from the other side, which, again, there's many, many stories of all kinds of people who have experienced that reality of staying connected and receiving the communications from the animal. So it's not just me, and we can all learn how to open to that reality rather than causing ourselves such tremendous suffering.
Yeah. It's probably the greatest lesson in life, learning how to let go. It's up there with forgiveness, for sure.
Yeah.
But when you look at your... I'm sure that people that are listening now are thinking, oh, it's easy to say, but I look at my little adorable pet and my animal friend, as you call them, and don't want them to ever go. This is, I think, a kind of a human reaction. So it is really wonderful and important to recognize and honor the journey of all living beings and to participate selflessly in their passing.
And the thing is, we can nurture ourselves by focusing on the connection. We can actually nurture and get through our grief and longing. And shift gears. It's like a shift in perception. You know, it takes some practice. But when you do, then there's this incredible balm. It's like a healing balm that comes from the spirit, from the animal themselves, that we are able to receive. And then it makes the journey of a death something that is transformative rather than that is only a loss.
Indeed. Okay, I'm going to open this up for questions now. So if you're listening, well, you are listening. if you're near your computer, take a look at the call-in numbers. I don't have them available to me at the moment. So just check and check those toll-free numbers that you can call in and speak with Penelope or ask her questions about her wonderful wisdom and her books. And remember, we're speaking with Penelope Smith. The book, well, there are two, Animal Talk, which I haven't read yet, but I will, and Animals in Spirit.
There's actually
by Penelope Smith.
There's a third one, When Animals Speak.
What's the third one?
And that comes after Animal Talk, and it's advanced interspecies communication. It takes further and gives people more information on connecting more deeply with their animal friends.
I'll
and the Animals in
too.
Spirit, of course, focuses on the whole subject, which is a big subject, obviously, of dying and death and connecting with our animals beyond.
And what a wonderful way, I repeat, to learn how to prepare yourself for the loss of your loved ones and to understand grief and how it affects those who are passing to the other side. Hello?
Hello? Yes?
Okay, I thought we lost each other there for a minute.
No?
All right, okay. Penelope, here's a good question for you. So, do in your experience of communicating with the animals, do they speak about also going toward the light and passing through a tunnel to get to the light?
There's different kinds of experiences. I've communicated to thousands of beings of all species, including many humans. And people actually, beings have actually different experience. The most common experience is expansion, and expansion into the light. I don't often get from animals going through a tunnel, but expanding into the light, being greeted by other spirits, being taken by angelic or ancient beings, who help them and being able to experience their divine essence in a sort of an expanded way and being completely enveloped in love. Many animals will then also stay around and be conscious of the earth to take care of their people, make sure their people are okay for a while. They'll stay around and sometimes advise people to what to do to help themselves, and even manifest, show manifestations that they are present, which many people have are aware of. Sometimes the animals will show imprints on the bed of their paws or knock things over to show you that they're there, so that people realize that they go on. And then there's experiences of many dimensions, many realities. Some animals show beautiful pastures, like horses, where they can run. Sometimes they show themselves as younger animals. Sometimes they show so that you can identify them, their physical form. And other times they just show themselves as beings of light, but you can feel that their energy is the same energy that left that physical form that was formerly called Fluffy or whoever. And so they give a lot of different experiences.
And how do you feel about animal reincarnation? Do they progress into higher states of being? Not that I'm being judgmental here, because I'm not convinced that humans are necessarily higher than some of the animals on the planet.
What my experience of reincarnation is, and again from talking to thousands of beings of all species, is that beings can go wherever they wish to go that is right for their divine path, for their path of growth in this world. So, and it isn't a hierarchy that mentally humans have categorized, that humans are at the top and it's the highest experience. I've experienced animals who have been human before, and now are a dog because they want to express unconditional love in a way that it's accepted.
That's fascinating.
And so they have a complete blast feeling that love for their whole life, that they can express it and that people accept it. And that helps them on their path. Many beings will stay in a similar species for a long period of time and then make a shift into other species. But it isn't going higher or lower. All experiences are really of spirit in different form, and it really depends on your path where you go. It isn't that humans are the most aware beings, as you know, it seems already. There are many, in my experience, is that there are many wise animal beings, but they have all different awarenesses in all different species, just like humans. You have humans of all different cultures and societies, and you also have individuals. Some are more wise and mature than others, and you have the same in animals. So I find the reincarnation is really a matter of purpose. Sometimes animal friends will choose to be with you again because they feel they haven't completed their journey with you. Some animals are really consciously spiritual guides of people, and they feel they need, 17 years as a cat wasn't long enough to help you on your path, so they need to come back again.
Would you tell the story about the cat that said she would come back as a dog to look for a star on her forehead?
I would have to read it out of my book because that wasn't one of my stories. I remember it being in the book, and someone's one of the animal communicators I've trained had this beautiful story of how they recognize their the animal by a particular marking. This is a common thing.
I can recount it because I so love the story.
Yeah.
You were. It was Jacqueline Smith.
Okay.
And her cat was Ming. It was a person I think named Sue who asked to be able to communicate with her cat Ming, who had transitioned a few nights before. And Ming, the cat, said, "I'll be back in 6 months. And I'll be taking the body of a little dog, so tell Sue she can find me in a place she wouldn't necessarily go, and I'll have a white star on my forehead, and she'll know me when she looks into my eyes. We still have many lessons to learn together." And so apparently Sue doesn't normally go to pet stores, but she did. 6 months later, she walked into a pet store. She saw a little dog with a white star on her forehead, and she looked into her eyes, and she said she knew it was Ming. I think that's just a delightful story.
Yes, and that actually is a very common thing, that animals will get in touch or get in touch through a communicator, and let you know that how they're going to be coming back, what they'll look like, and how it's going to happen. And other times it's a journey of people trusting and opening and being aware that we're always connected and that they will recognize and that we recognize each other's energy. It doesn't always happen that simply, but sometimes it's real straightforward.
I'm certain that this would be very comforting to people who, to some people who have maybe just lost their animal friend, to know that they may very well be reincarnating again to spend more time with them.
Yes.
Not that they should hold on to that celebrating the past.
Yeah. Both are beautiful, being able to stay connected with the animal in the spiritual realm or having them return again in whatever form that we can be with them again.
That is just a wonderful thing to know.
Great.
What else would you like to tell us specifically about the journey of your experience of animal spirits and what they're communicating back to this realm?
Well, I have found that, again, in life, animals are not socialized out of awareness of who they are. They also don't have, we are the only species that can get lost in our minds and forget who we are. We have a complex mind that we have not mastered. If we are not on top of our mind, sometimes it can get on top of us in the sense that we get lost in like a maze of mental complexity and forget the basics. That's often why people go to animals. They go to their horse or dog or cat or bird or lizard or whoever it is, and they feel their elemental connection with the earth and their connection with their soul, with their heart, with their soul, with the center of their being. And animals can remind them of who they are and how to feel. And so this carries on. Many animals are incredibly wise beings that have a tremendous amount to share in life. And people get so caught up and they say, oh, he's just a cute little dog. Well, that cute little dog is also an incredible soul who may have tremendous wisdom to share with you if you would shut off your thoughts about him and projection of thoughts and actually learn what you can learn from this soul and listen to what you can learn from this soul. So sometimes the animals are real guides of us. Oftentimes people and people recognize this. They say, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for that dog and his love and his steadiness with me. I wouldn't be here if that cat hadn't reminded me to do this or that.
Indeed.
And people often recognize the important both spiritual and emotional support of animals. And this actually goes beyond form. The animals beyond the grave, we can also learn from them. They'll often relate to people. I want you to be happy. Life is good. Enjoy it to the full. When I was a little dog in a dog's form, I really enjoyed being a dog. That's what you just so much enjoyed about me, is we just enjoyed everything about being a dog, and I wanted you to enjoy everything about being human and life itself. And I want you to go on. And so the animals will often communicate this. I want you to be happy. Sometimes they'll say, hey, I want you to stop thinking of me as this, you know, and thinking and feeling guilty and feeling this terrible loss. I'd like you to go out and get another dog. No, it's not me coming back. It's not my time to reincarnate, or I'm completed. But I want you to go find a little dog. And sometimes people beside themselves and they've convinced themselves that they never again can have another little dog. Somebody then drops in and drops three puppies into their lap or something.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, because when I meet people that say, no, I could never deal with the pain again, I go with puppies.
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
And the animals,
I think that blocking
that
yourself
life
off from all that love is
oh my
is
gosh,
just one of the worst things you can do. And not
there
to mention
so
how
many
animals are needing.
Yeah. But there are so many wonderful animal beings in this world. I look at it this way. As much as I love each of them, and they're all so special, and nobody is like anybody else. I mean, they're like each other, but they're unique. I meet constantly all these wonderful animal beings. I mean, look at all these animals in people's lives. I mean, there are so many friends, and to open up is to another animal is to open our heart even more. So we can both honor our animal friends' memory and our connection with them, our spiritual connection with them, and we can enjoy the furry, fuzzy company or feathered company of another being.
Remind people that when you abandon your animals, when you're contemplating abandoning your animal because it isn't convenient or that they don't get along with the children or whatever, take Penelope's message into your heart and remember how deeply they feel and how unconditionally they love you, and think about your decision.
Yes.
Penelope, our time is up already. I can't believe it. It just flies. Once again, her books are many more than I thought. We've got Animal Talk. Interspecies Communication was the second one?
The second one is When Animals Speak.
When Animals Speak. And the third one, the one that I've had the privilege of reading, is Animals in Spirit. And her website is www.animaltalk.net.
Net.
Okay, I got that right. Okay, well, it's way too soon to say goodnight. It's nighttime here, that's why we're talking evening here in Italy. But I want to thank you, Penelope, for bringing your wonderful heart and your wisdom and your beautiful spirit to this program, Beyond the Matrix. And I would love to have you come back again, and we'll explore even deeper.
Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you. And please tune in next week. We'll be staying with the animals. We'll be talking with Mark Hawthorne, an animal activist. His book is entitled Striking at the Roots. So don't miss that show as well. This show tonight is archived. If you want someone who you know who loves animals or has any issues that would be helped by Penelope's wisdom, be sure you check the archive and let them hear this heartwarming program. That's all for now. Don't forget, don't get stuck in the box of convention. Always, always, always take your mind beyond the matrix. And with that, I wish you a beautiful day. This is Patricia Corey signing out. Talk to you next week.